In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have in our gospel reading the mention of John's baptism. I don't mean that he was baptized, but John is known as John the Baptist. That's what he did. It's the title that's attached to him. You see in the Gospels a movement from John's baptism to what it means that Jesus was baptized, and finally, the baptism that he has given to the church. In John's baptism, it's pretty clearly about repentance. I'm trying to find pictures of John the Baptist looking happy, and you're not going to find one. He's always preaching to that brood of vipers, that being you and me, to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And we've waited for so long for the Messiah to come, and we've gotten tired and lazy, and we're looking for other ways to be saved. We're looking to trust other gods. So John the Baptist was preaching to the Judeans, to the Jews, to the Samaritans, to all and sundry, as it were. You've waited 400 years since Malachi was preaching about this guy, and now you've made up rules to follow so that you can have certainty and comfort in the heart. This coming from a man who's shaggy and wearing camel's hair and a leather belt and eating locusts and honey. And the people were going out to him. He was calling them to repentance. And the people who were waiting for the Messiah loved it, because they knew now was the time. They were ready and willing and desiring for hope, grounded in the coming of the Messiah, the one that had been promised since Genesis 3:15. So they went out to him to hear him preach, repent. The fire is coming. The Messiah is coming. And they were baptized, confessing their sin. In Matthew, that's how it's recorded, that baptized and confessing their sins are almost one event. In the other Gospels, in Matthew, in Luke and Mark, they were baptized into or unto the forgiveness of sin. John was the only one doing the baptizing. It was never commanded that anybody else do the baptism that he was doing. He never handed it down, like Jesus told the disciples. John was the baptizer, and it was for the forgiveness of sin. But it's so that they were cleansed and ready for when the Lamb of God came to take away their sin. So yes, his preaching was of repentance. But if you notice, I think it's in Luke, where the people come up and ask him, what shall we do? And he says to one soldier, don't take any more than you need. To a tax collector, ironically about the same amount, don't steal, don't defraud. Be righteous and good and love your neighbor. Live according to the name into which you have been given. But he is calling for people to turn. To turn away from the kingdom of this world to the King of righteousness. To turn from looking outside of Scripture, outside of God's promises for hope, and be renewed that Christ is coming, and he is coming again. John's preaching is for us just as much as it was for them. We are also waiting. We are also called to be ready to turn each day. So while John's baptism, The baptism which he baptized others with is not continuing. What he was preaching has and will continue. Because he also baptized our Lord Christ. Even though John, ironically, was a little bit hesitant to do that very thing to what he was called. There's one thing that he was called to do, it was to baptize Jesus. And when Jesus came to him, he said, "This doesn't feel right." No, because it's not you. You're a messenger. You're a prophet. You're acting in the Father's stead. Because remember what Christ means, what the term Messiah means. It means anointed. It means an act of separating you out from all the others. It was what was done for kings. It was what was done for prophets. So he, John the Baptist, baptized Christ. He anointed him the anointed one. The only one that we need, the only one that anyone would need. In Jesus' baptism, which we celebrate only a couple weeks after Christmas, Jesus' baptism wasn't to cover his sins, but to become sin for us. So while we are baptized with water, he was baptized with water and fire. The wrath of God was coming onto him. The wrath of God against sin and sinners. He was taking it unto himself. That's what he was doing his whole ministry. When he healed people, he was taking their sin upon him. When he forgave them, he was taking their sin upon him. When he raised the dead, he was taking their death upon himself, so that none of us would have the wrath of God fall upon us. So we are not baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized, but we are baptized into Christ. And this baptism, this washing, was something new. There had always been cleansing things. There have always been anointings in the Old Testament. Washing of hands, anointing of heads, of priests, of kings. Cleansing yourself before you enter into the temple. Before you come back to the people after being exposed to a dead body. There had always been cleansings. But this one was different. John's baptism was an initiation. You were coming into something. It was done once. Jesus' baptism was done once. You were coming from the old to the new. You were being made new. You were giving and being given something new. That's what baptism fulfilled and was taking over what circumcision did. Circumcision was the way in which you were brought into God's people, initiated, accepted, welcomed, made one of God's people. And that's what baptism does. Circumcision was done once and for all. Baptism is done once and for all. And that baptism, a baptism which Jesus gave the apostles and therefore the church to continue to do, was to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the reason why this was done after John's baptism and after Jesus' baptism was so that when we are baptized, when we're baptized into Christ, he is exchanging all of his righteousness, all of his work for our sin. So that he became sin, he died the death that we deserve. And that is done once, and it is never taken from us. Jesus never says, Yeah, but I might take that away, and you'll have to try again. The prodigal son came back and was welcome. The Gentiles were come, they came back and were welcome. Peter came back, and he wasn't circumcised or baptized again. He was welcome. This is why when James talks about being establishing your heart as we wait, as we suffer through it for the coming of Christ again, we're like those people that Malachi preached to. We don't know when Christ is coming, but we still have the same word. And we still have the same promise. Establish or ground or anchor your faith. That's what baptism does. When he says establish your heart, it means cling for your life to the promise that he gave. Something that cannot be taken away, that is immovable. Immovable as rock, immovable as his word of promise. So that as we wait for that coming of the Lord, as we wait for his return, as we suffer in long suffering, with moments of joy and happiness, but still struggling with sin and the sin of the world and our own devils, as it were, we can cling, we can be anchored, we can be steadfast and immovable, because he has baptized you into Christ. And what Christ has done is established and immovable and can never be taken away from. That's his promise. He will certainly do it. In the name of Jesus, amen.